Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Glove. I'm tongue-tied because I'm looking at Timmy's got a fresh white shirt on. I'm like, look at that shirt. It's a pretty nice tee, Tim. Very nice. But thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate the support. Nice Wednesday here. Second last day of February, thanks to the leap year. But it's going to be a good one, Tim. You know why it's going to be good? I am on fire right now. I am getting interview requests. I am trending. I am all over everywhere. I did an interview with the Wall Street Journal. Ever heard of it? It's not a hockey magazine. It's like a pretty famous one. Just got off the horn with Pierre Maguire. Did his podcast. Talked to my arch nemesis, Greg Wyshynski, Puck Daddy from ESPN. I'm talking to someone tomorrow in Edmonton. I'm on fire. I'm turning down interviews left and right, all because of Matt Rempe. Appreciate saying his name correctly, putting some respect on that name. Very nice. Very nice. But before we get into all that and start patting myself on the back, I want to just say you have one day left to win some money from Give Better. That's it. Then it's done. Then you blew it. You blew the opportunity to get yourself some free Do-Re-Mi from Give Better. Go to givebetter.app/DTG. That's it. I've said it enough. I've beat this horse. It's dead. It's done. We're turning into glue in a couple days. You have till February 29th to make your last pick. Then the free ride's over. So go to givebetter.app/DTG. The Blues Oilers game is on tonight. I advise you to go over on everything. The Blues cannot keep the puck out of their net, and the Oilers are pretty good at putting the puck in the net. If you've watched them lately, they light up every single team. So go pick all the Oilers players and swipe up over, over, over. These guys are playing fantastic. Or don't. Go under. What do I care? Go and win yourself some money. It's a fantastic opportunity. Go to givebetter.app/DTG. If you don't, you're basically just dead to me. Is that too aggressive? I encourage you to do that. All right, Tim, moving on. Rempe. Should we put a bow on this kid finally, or should we talk about him a lot more? Because it seems like when we talk about him, we get a lot of positive feedback. He hasn't played in a couple of days, though.
Yeah, no, you weren't kidding about just the attention right now, because obviously, like, you're getting the interviews and stuff, but I'm getting my email inbox because people go to the website and they go to reach out, and it's my email that's attached to it. So it's getting, like you said, the Wall Street Journal, and he was like, he wanted to interview me because he thought I ran hockey fights, which I don't. But maybe if he wants to interview me about my book or something and put that on the cover, that would also be okay. I'd be okay.
That could be fine with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd allow that. But it's a lot of fun. It's cool. It's exciting. And then the torch story as well, which was pretty funny that you tweeted out. So a lot of fun. But Matt Rempe now I just listened to your interview on Pierre Maguire earlier because they live streamed it. And it sounds like has your tone changed a little bit about, you know, him being a little bit more selective and careful in how he approaches the fights or. What?
Well, I still think he should fight quite a bit, but I think he should not just fight first shift every game. I feel like he has, you know, established himself as a fighter in this league. I feel like even the fight versus Olivier maybe was a mistake. He should have just maybe eased into the game a little bit because Olivier was obviously chomping at the bit to get after him. He was scouting him. He knew what he was going to do and he succeeded and he beat him up. So, you know, maybe pick your spots. I think he is owed a conversation by Laviolette or Jacob Trouba, someone on his team or in his organization, to pull him aside and say, we know you're tough. You're going to be on this team. Your spot is not in jeopardy if you don't fight. Because as a young kid, that's what you think. You think, if I don't fight, they're going to see that I'm scared and they're going to send me down to the minors. That's all you're thinking about. You're trying to stay in the NHL. You're going to do whatever you can to stay in the NHL. He needs someone to talk to him, to save him from himself, because right now he's his own worst enemy. He's going to go out there and fight anybody. He's going to take on anybody because he thinks that he has to do this to stay into the lineup. And that might be the case, but I think he's had a couple of good fights under his belt. He's got 2 points in 5 games. He's a valuable piece of this team so far. I think Laviolette blew it by not telling him not to fight versus Olivier in the first shift. That was the day after the Delorier fight. He's on a high. His knuckles are probably banged up. His face is a little raw. He should have did him a favor and said, you don't have to fight tonight, especially not in the first shift, because Olivier is probably all jacked up on Mountain Dew and he wants to fight him in the first shift. And he's like ready to go, salivating. Rempe, and I talked to guys about this. George LaRocque is a prime example. Guys would get geared up to fight him, and they would get all excited, and they would want to get it out of the way in the first shift. And George said it on the show, and I've talked to him many times about this. He says, I would never be the guy who said yes. I was always the guy who asked. It was always on my terms. So if a guy came up to me and said, we're going, I would say no. And then I would wait, and I would pick my spot when I was ready. And so I think Rempe could have done that. Olivier wanted to go first shift. If Rempe would have said, no, catch you in a second, or I'll let you know when we're going to fight, it's on my terms, I think he would have done better after that fact. It would have thrown Olivier off, and then you have him just thinking, oh, when are we going to fight? So there's a lot of chess games going on there that should have happened. But anyways, I reached out to him on Instagram. Said, hey, kid, how's it going? Had a nice conversation. Kind of gave him a tips. He was very receptive of my, grabbing on by the collar, protecting yourself a little bit. And we had some other stuff. We said, I'll keep it between me and him. You know what I mean? I like to keep my DMs to myself, Tim. I don't tell you. I don't tell anybody else. Those are mine. My personal private conversation. Thank you very much.
No, that's exciting, though, because people were wondering if you guys were going to talk. And everyone's saying, well, the Rangers should fly you in and bring you in. And that's
they a should.
Which they should.
Right? If they were smart, Glenn Sather should fly me out for a couple days and just let me work with the kid after practice. We don't have to do it in front of the cameras. You know, we'll clear the practice rink there in White Plains, and I'll just work with them for half an hour for a couple days. It'll do a world of difference. But they won't. Scared, I think. It would be great, though. It would improve his fighting capability. I guarantee it.
Well, not just guarantee the fighting, but it's specifically like protecting himself. Because the offense of the fighting, he's got down. He throws haymakers.
Yeah.
It's protecting himself. The last thing I want to ask before we move on from Rempe is Saturday, they play the Leafs, and everyone's saying Reeves is going to ask him to fight. So do you think Reeves will ask him? Do you think Rempe says yes?
I don't think Reeves will ask him. No. Did he ask Lucic?
No. I don't know. Well, they didn't play this year, I don't think. But
they have played in years past, and I don't think he'll. No offense to Ryan Reeves. Love the guy. He is very aware of his position on the Leafs in the NHL. He has this aura about him, and he's not about to get beat up by a young kid and lose that aura. So he's going to pick his spots. He's not going to put himself at a disadvantage. If he catches Rempe on a late shift or the Leafs are losing, he has to do it. But I don't see this being a first shift fight. I don't think Ryan's going to do that. So I think it's going to be a lot of buildup, and there's nothing that's going to happen. That's what I think will happen.
Aren't you glad? I mean, I know the All-Star thing ended your career a little bit, maybe earlier than you would have wanted to, or sent you down to the AHL. But one good thing is that you went out on top. Like, what if you had tried to stay a year or two longer than you maybe should have? And then people are talking about you in a way of like waste of cap space and get them off the team, et cetera, where you got to be valuable for your whole career without having to like stay, you know, that extra year.
If a team would have offered me a one-way deal, I would have stayed 100%. Yeah. 100%. Tim, I turned down a deal to play for the Kunlun Dragons in the KHL. And that's not nothing. It was a very substantial deal. It would have made me more money than I made in the NHL in all my years combined. It was a lot of money. And I almost took it. The head coach was Mike Keenan. I got scouted by, I can't remember his name, Scott something. But my dear wife, love of my life, she said, not a chance. If you're going to go, you're going to go on your own. And I said, well, all right. You know, they have FaceTime and stuff. The kids will love it.
Email.
Yeah. And so then she said, no, I was testing you and you failed and you're not allowed to go. And so I didn't go. But yeah, it was a lot of money. And I, do I regret it? Every single day.
One year would have changed the rest of your life. But whatever.
Do you think I'd be living in this shack if I had nine schmel in my bank account? Not a chance. But no, it's funny. All right, moving on. Speaking of big jerks, Nick Cousins rears his ugly head a couple days off of getting his face beat in by Anthony Mantha that everybody applauded because he's just scum of the earth, Nick Cousins. He was back to up to his no good. People are talking about him again, playing the Buffalo Sabres, a scrum in front of the net. Greenway takes a swing at him, misses. Nick Cousins dives like he's been shot. You know, Lee Harvey Oswald from behind the bushes takes him down. Maybe not a good reference. Poor JFK Jr. got his face exploded. But JFK. What'd I say?
Junior.
Is he not a junior?
Moving on.
His son was a junior. John. He died in a plane crash.
That's right.
It's Kennedy's tough break. And then what's wrong with Robert Kennedy's voice?
It's a medical condition.
Is it?
Yeah, some disease or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's smart guy, but it's just hard to listen to him. Anyways, Nick Cousin, he just goes down. He tries to draw a penalty, doesn't draw a penalty, and then jumps up and engages in the scrum. I don't know. What else do you want to talk about? The guy's a rat. Like, there's really nothing more to say on this situation. If there was ever any doubt that this guy's a rat, this is it. Like, signed, sealed, and delivered. This guy's the biggest rat in the game. I don't know. That's it.
That particular clip, like, it's almost worse than the stuff he does that's dirty. Like, this is somehow, like, scummier to me. You know what I mean? Just, like, faking. It's like soccer. You know, it's like the faking the injuries when there's egregious, like, European leagues and... It's just, it feels gross to watch. And that's just sort of what it was like. And there's no victims of this. Like, this is a victimless crime other than the worst thing that could have happened was that he drew a penalty. And that would have been a cheap one, but like not like anyone's getting hurt. But just something about it just makes me feel gross watching it. So, and then he pops right back up as soon as he realizes he's not getting the call and joins the fight. So, typical. But at least he has 7 points this year or 8 now. I think he had one last night. But. Whatever.
Yeah, like, it's just, this is where you just don't want the instigator. You know what I mean? Because Jordan Greenway could have grabbed him and just worked him. And everybody loved it. But you, instigator now, it's a 2-1 game. You can't put your team behind. So it is. It's par for the course for Florida. They have evolved into just the most hated team in the NHL. They had Gudas. They got rid of him. They have Nick Cousins now. Everybody hates him. Nobody likes Tkachuk. It's just they are resoundingly the most hated team in the NHL. Who would be close to this team? On the ice. Everybody hates Toronto for different reasons, but
Boston on the ice. Too. Yeah.
They just have a lot of just guys.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't know. Philly? But no, it's these guys. You're probably right.
It's these guys. They're the absolute worst. You are the worst. All right, moving on. Elias Pettersson, Vancouver Canucks. Fabulous season they're having. He is having a career year. He's already well above his, you know, career average pace. He'll probably finish with 110, Tim, maybe 120 points. If trends continue to go the way they're going, Vancouver doesn't seem to be slowing down. He's going to be, is he a UFA or an RFA after the season?
I believe he's a UFA. I'll double check while you talk.
If he's a UFA, this is a big deal. They've been having contract negotiations throughout the season. They had him last year. They've been trying to get this guy locked up. He's an RFA. So they have a little bit of leverage at Vancouver Canucks. Yeah. They're not getting any indication from Pettersson that he wants to be here long term, according to Rick Dilawali, a TSN guy from Vancouver area. And he's saying there's frustration growing within Vancouver with the management, the coaching staff, everywhere. They're like, why isn't this guy signing the contract? Why isn't he even countering and saying, I want more money? It's just kind of nothing going on in the Pettersson camp. So what is happening in Vancouver? Is there any chance, Tim, that they're going to deal this guy?
No. But it is really interesting that he's not engaging in conversation because it's not like he's saying, no, I'm going to test the market. No, I don't want to sign. He's basically not answering. He's not picking up the phone. He's not allowing his agents to engage. This is what Pierre LeBrun said. Quote, Pettersson hasn't been willing to allow his agents to engage with Canucks management meaningfully in contract negotiations. And I think that's been a tough pill to swallow for the Canucks up top, meaning they want to get the deal done. They want to announce the good news, extend him long term, you know, 8, 10 years, whatever it's going to be. And
only he can't go 10.
Okay. He doesn't want to do it. And Darren Dreger said on his show that I don't believe for a second that it's financial. So it's not about the money. There's something else going on in the water here. And my question for you, like, is this, how concerning is this? Cause it's not unusual for guys to say, listen, it's my intention to sign, or maybe they don't say anything, but they will say, you know what, let's talk about it in the summer. I don't want any distractions. I want to focus on just playing hockey and we'll talk about the renewals in July. That's not that uncommon, especially for an RFA who's going to be under control. So is it a case of that, or do you think there's something else going on here?
Well, this is the guy who said before he signed his last deal, the 3-year bridge deal with Jim Benning, that I want to make sure I know where this team is headed before I sign. So he's obviously aware of, you know, his future, and he doesn't want to be locked into a situation where, yeah, you're making a lot of money, but you're on a losing team. And then you're not happy. And so I kind of can't blame him for that. And he's taking his time. And I just watched The Office, The Art of the Deal with Steve Carell, when he's like the negotiation tactics, and he's like, you never speak first. And so him and Darnell are in the room and no one's saying anything. And so maybe he's doing this. I don't speak first. And he's just really laying into it. And he's just making them feel uncomfortable, because it is strange that you don't even just say, you know what, let's talk after the season, or give him some indication that you're willing to talk and you want to, you know, stay here long term. I would be concerned. This is your franchise player. This is the guy you want to build around. This is the player who reportedly you've offered 8 years, $12.5 million. It's almost $100 million you're offering this guy, and he's not even giving a response. That would make me second guess. That would make me concerned. Why doesn't he, you know, sign it? So I get where Pettersson's coming from. Where's this team going to be in 5 years? He's still a young kid. He's 25 years old. Is this team going to be good in 5 years when I'm 30, still in the prime of my career? JT Miller's locked up long term. He's 30. He'll be 35. Elias Lindholm is 30. He's going to be 35 if we re-up him. Connor Garland's around. He'll be older. The team is going to be aging. Will it still be good? I don't know. So I think conversations will happen between him and the management and say, hey, Alvin, like, what are your plans moving forward? Are we still going to be contenders? You know, are we still going to, you know, compete, trade our first rounders, go for it every single year? Because it's a big decision. It's a big life decision, especially I don't get the sense he loves Vancouver. Do you?
No.
Right?
No.
There's nothing screaming saying, I love this town. Like, he doesn't come out and say, I love playing here, man. The fan base is fantastic, where you hear that from other players. Like Marc-Andre Fleury just said it. He's not leaving Minnesota. He loves the fans. He wants to be a part of the chase, the playoff hunt. Pettersson is in first place in the Pacific. He should be on cloud nine right now, and he's not saying anything. So I don't think he likes it there. I really don't.
So what's the likely scenario in your mind? Is he waiting till the summer? Does he not want, like, where does this go in the next couple of months, or does it go anywhere?
Does it go to arbitration? That's the one avenue he could go, and he's assured of a 1-year contract. And then he leaves town. He'll be UFA after that.
Yeah. So now everyone's talking about the trade speculation, and Chicago's up at the top of the list, you know, obviously just for the cap space and the Bedard and all that. Detroit's also up there, similar situation. Just they have availability for him, and everyone's floating out all kinds of deals. Obviously Vancouver isn't going to deal him. They're at the top of the league right now. And you mentioned like those guys getting older, but you're still going to have like a pretty elite core for the next several years, not to mention Quinn Hughes. And so, like, Brock Besser, like, all these, they're going to be good for the next 3 to 5 years, even if JT Miller and Garland, all these guys get older. So they're still going to be a good team. I can't imagine you're going to have a better situation than you have in Vancouver, unless there's something specific about it that just doesn't work for you. Whether it's
I just don't think he likes Vancouver.
Yeah.
That might be it. And, you know, he's been there for 6 years now. And if he doesn't like the town, he doesn't like the town. And so you can't change that. You know, you can buy the best condo, the best house, the best everything. And if you don't like the city itself, there's nothing you can do about it. So I don't know what the case is, but it is very strange that he just isn't like, if Tim, here's a 8-year deal for $98 million, $100 million, I think it is. Like, what's 12.5 times 8? I think it's 100. So it's just, that's crazy to me.
But how many cities in the NHL or in the world even like are that much better than Vancouver to be a young millionaire? You know what I mean? Like, it's, I can't imagine what he wouldn't like about it, but I guess not him.
Everybody has their preferences. Maybe he wants to go to Arizona. He likes the sun.
Yeah. No.
They wouldn't sign him because they would never sign someone for that much money. But
I don't know. Ask for some of that money back if he wants to invest in a new rink.
Yeah, hey, right. Could you defer 80% of that salary so we can build this rink?
Here's your check. Can I borrow some money, by the way?
Yeah, just a clown show they're doing. But now I don't want to rip on Arizona. But I don't know, over under.
Let's see. I think he signs. I think he stays.
But does he finish his career there?
No. No, because I don't think he's going to win a cup, and then he's going to want one when he's 30. You know?
He have a Canucks jersey on in 3 years?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. What do you think?
I think no. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's obviously a reason why he hasn't signed already.
Definitely not a good thing that he hasn't signed if you're a Canucks fan. You know,
he could go out and nail the rest of the season and win the Hart. I don't think they can offer him more than 12.5. 12.5 is a high number.
Yeah.
It's a big number. Like, that's McDavid. Better than McDavid? Elias, are you better than Connor? Are you?
No.
No, you're not. No. So take 12.5. Take it.
I agree.
And then again, there's the other factor. What's happening with John Tavares right now? The Canadian tax thing. Justin Trudeau doing a fine job getting players to play in Canada. I don't want to do that. We got one guy who said, lay off the politics. I'm allowed to have an opinion, okay? You guys, I'm not a robot. I don't like Justin Trudeau. I don't like what he's done to my country. You can't sit there and tell me he's done a good job. Maybe you can. I'm not gaining listeners by saying this, but I'm allowed to voice my opinion. I won't go into it. But anyways, get to the quick hits, Tim, before I go scorched earth.
Yeah. Well, our listeners know the deal by now. For a limited time, you can get 25% off and free delivery with DoorDash. Use the promo code NATION25, all caps.
Promo code.
Did you see the clip last night of the Wells Fargo Center losing power?
No. Philly?
Yeah, in like half the arena, and they put out a statement and they're looking into it. I don't know if they how long. I don't think it ended up being out for very long, but yeah, like during the gameplay, all the lights shut off. Kind of crazy. Look up the clip after.
I've been a part of games like that where there's no power. It's happened.
Really?
Someone in the NHL? There's a breaker. Yeah, I've seen it. You got to go flip the breaker, blow on it.
Yeah,
turn it back on.
Tough blow for the Kings. Adrian Kempe heading back to LA for a scheduled MRI. Yeah. This is a weird time of year just because, you know, trade deadline's approaching and you want clarity as soon as possible to figure out how long he's going to be out, the severity of the injury, and what that does to your roster if he's going to miss significant time. So hopefully it's better now than next week just because they've got the trade deadline in about 10 days now. But hopefully he's healthy.
Here's my prediction. I bet you he's going to be out maybe a month and a half. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. He'll probably be back middle of April. That's my prediction. And maybe the LA Kings are in a good spot to maybe go out and add some players. Maybe they're going to kick some tires on some offensive guys. Because don't look now, Adrian Kempe makes 5.5, and you can maybe go out and get a Tarasenko or a Jake Guentzel or something like that, and it would fit in nicely under the cap. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Adrian, don't you think you're out for a month and a half? I think I could be back in a week. You mean like a month and a half? Maybe. These guys are terrible. It's disgusting.
You don't know. I'm sure he's really hurt.
Oh, for sure. I saw him out last night in Venice Beach, okay? I was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What else, Tim?
Yeah. Nichushkin is back. He got cleared to resume practicing with the team. Obviously, he was out a few weeks back with the player assistance program. And he's back in Colorado. I don't think he's played in a game yet, but good for him to be.
That's why someone asked to trade for him in fantasy. I have him. Ah. Someone offered me a trade. So I should not accept the trade.
Not if you want to win. Are you still in it?
I think I just waxed you last week.
Which team are you?
Friend of the show.
That's you? Yeah, you did. Oh, my team is so bad. I just got
offer
for Sorokin, so I'll probably take it.
You'll probably take it. I'll take anything.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. Speaking of your Bruins, they lost again, Tim. But they're getting 1 point every game. So they're consistently losing in overtime or a shootout.
There's something to be said for that, right? You're getting some points. They blew another lead. And they allowed another goal late in the third, tied it up with Charlie Coyle, but they lost in another shootout to the Kraken. And I don't stay up for these games. I go to bed at like 9:30, 9 o'clock. So I don't catch these games, but I get the text in the morning from different people saying, why do the Bruins stink? And
Omar Glut, he threw the puck right up the middle for a gift for a goal for the Kraken. And then they had a goal disallowed, I think, the Bruins. So there was a lot of bad bounces there.
The Morgan Geeky thing, I think that should have been a goal, but whatever.
It should have been a goal for sure. The Bruins should have won that game, but they didn't because they're not a clutch team. And they're going to be in the wild card soon. Oh, they're not in first place anymore. Florida has surpassed them. Here comes Toronto. And then here comes the Detroit Red Wings. And then here comes Tampa Bay Lightning. So just get ready.
The Red Wings put up 8 last night. Did you see that?
They cannot stop scoring. Yeah.
Did you see the 3-on-1 with DeBrincat, Kane, and Larkin?
I did not, but I can imagine it was good. Yeah.
It was beautiful, beautiful. DeBrincat ended up scoring on it. These guys are getting hot at the right time. And Kane's putting up over a point per game since he came on. It's just so good.
I watched them firsthand the other day. I was in the rink.
Yeah.
They look pretty good. They look really good. With all the distractions, the bells and whistles, with the Kane thing and the Chelios, they played great. They're a dangerous team. If they could just keep playing like this, I would not want to play them first round. Good team. All right, Tim. What else are we talking about?
Well, just mentioned the Bruins. Jake DeBrusk spoke to the media today, said there's been no progress on a contract extension. So he kind of went on. So obviously 2 years ago, he signed. Let me finish before you sigh. He signed a 2-year bridge deal. And he played better last year, not playing as great this year. And this is one of the fluky things, because I remember people being frustrated with, you know, similar player, not a similar player, but similar stats as a Michael Ryder, where he's like, he's a goal scorer, but he's not a 40 goal scorer. When you score 20 to 30, depending on the year, you're by definition going to be streaky. You're going to have 3 goals in 5 games and then nothing for 10 games, just because that's how the math is going to add up. So you're getting a little bit of that from DeBrusk, but he said that he's been concerned about it or anxious about it. I forget the word he used, just because he went through this before and then he's not getting what he wants now. It's possible that he's playing his final stretch of games in a Bruins uniform.
Hopefully, right? Like, has there ever been a player given everything and he doesn't produce up to those opportunities? Tim, he has played with a superstar on his line his whole career. They've been begging him to produce. He's had Marchand, he's had Bergeron, he's had Pasternak, he's had Krejci, he's had Taylor Hall, he's had all of these guys, and he continues to just underwhelm year after year after year after year. Then he'll show flashes. Then he'll be a healthy scratch. Then the coach will call him out. Then he'll succeed, and then he'll just go in a tank and not score for 10 straight games. And he's complaining that he hasn't come to a good number with the team. Oh my gosh. I'm so tired of this guy. Go. As soon as he leaves Boston, third line guy getting 12 goals a game. That's your future, Jake. So if you're sitting here complaining, I want $6 million. He makes $4 million this year. In my opinion, that's $2 million too much. This guy's a $2-2.5 million player. For the amount of baggage that he brings, the man of the opera, Timmy's on the first line. He gets to play with Pasternak every single night. And he's only got, what, 17 goals? Crazy? Nuts? I would have at least 12 if I played with Pasta. At least. I'm not even kidding. Not even kidding. He's on the first power play unit with McAvoy, with Pasta, with Marchand. First line minutes, first power play unit. Just talk about entitled brat. Oh, it drives me bonkers. Get rid of him.
One of the most frustrating things about it was that you had this opportunity this year in particular because of Bergeron and Krejci being gone, in addition to all the other players they added that have moved on. And you saw Charlie Coyle just step up in a major way and have a fantastic season and surpass even Bergeron's pace last year points-wise. And you saw other guys step up, including Zacha. And this could have been DeBrusk could have cemented himself as like legit the rest of his career in Boston. Like he had the opportunity this year, hasn't done it. And so I don't think it's for lack of effort. I don't think he's entitled. I just don't think he's that good.
He's a streaky 13 player. Goals. 13.
He's a solid player. He's a middle six player. He's pretty good defensively too. Like he's a responsible player, but he's not a first line talent. And his numbers have probably been a little bit inflated because of who he's played with. 100%. And so, yeah, I'm not frustrated with him in the sense of like, I think he's giving it his all. He's just, he's at the peak of what his production level is going to be given his talent.
Let's pin this show, this comment. If he leaves Boston, mark my words, next year, February 28th, good thing we weren't doing the show tomorrow, so there's not going to be February 28th, he will only have 6 goals. He's not going to have a better situation than this. Not a chance in the world. If he can't score, you know, more than 13 playing with Pasta, what makes you think he's going to go somewhere else and be on the first line? That won't happen. He's going to be on the third line. I'm really upset we haven't come to, you know, terms on a deal. No crap. You're not. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The chutzpah of this guy drives me bonkers. All right. Anything else, Tim?
No, what is this, your 4th, 5th interview of the day?
It's been a lot. Yeah, I need to go to sleep. I got to go have a rest. We're going to do another show on Friday. I'm dedicated to this. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We appreciate the support. Yeah, we'll catch you on Friday. Week's already over. Crazy. It'll be March 1st. Very fun. All right. Have a good one. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.